This is Dr. Holly Lucille's Mindful Medicine. Here's Dr. Holly Lucille.
Hi, folks. Thanks so much for being here. This is Dr. Holly Lucille on Mindful Medicine. What an amazing topic. We are talking today about dangerous prescription medications. And for those of you who know anything about me, you know that I'm the daughter of two pharmacists, right? I grew up and my father was climbing the corporate ladder of one of the largest pharmaceutical companies. I've always said that, hey, there is value in all systems of medicine, but I've got a guy, Dr. Robert Marks. He's a dentist. He is a renowned surgeon, researcher, and award-winning medical writer. Dr. Robert Marks has transformed his real-life battles to expose Big Pharma's deceptive labeling practices into a page-turning suspense novel called Deadly Prescription. This book actually gives readers an inside look at the alarming level of fraud and corruption that currently exists in many of America's giant drug companies. Dr. Marks, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. Good to be here.
Wow. Okay, so first of all, there is so much that I want to talk to you about. But you are a surgeon. You're an oral and maxillofacial surgeon. Just let the listeners know, what exactly is that?
Well, probably easy to say, it is a mixture of medicine and dentistry as a specialty, where we manage the conditions below the brain and above the collarbone. Best way to understand it.
Okay, that's great. Below the brain and above. Well, it's pretty a niche area. I mean, I think that's wonderful. That's great. So this book, Deadly Prescription, is fascinating. It is absolutely fascinating.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's really ripped from reality. It is a little bit of a takeoff on some of my real-life disappointments with the big pharma industry today, and really how it affects a lot of our patients, mainly referring to what's called osteonecrosis of the jaws, which is, you know, for the your listeners, as dead bone in the jaws.
Yeah. So how did you discover the link between Merck's anti-osteoporosis drug Fosamax and the decay of jawbone tissue occurring in your patients?
Well, yeah, it wasn't too hard, actually. We had numbers of patients coming in with dead bone in the jaw, and if you take a good medical history, as I'm sure all good physicians do, you find out that the only link was taking a class of medications called bisphosphonates, of which Fosamax was the number one in people taking an oral bisphosphonate for osteoporosis. Then you take a look at how the drug works. And we find out that the mechanism of bisphosphonates is that it kills a normal cell in the body called an osteoclast. And when you kill normal cells in the body, that's going to have some side effects. So knowing a little bit about bone physiology, it was really pretty apparent. My disappointment is why the drug companies didn't anticipate this.
Now, so, okay, they didn't anticipate it, but what were their reaction when you began publishing your findings? I mean, this is what I really want to know.
Oh, that was really the thing that disappointed me. It was denial. It was threats. It was paying off their paid consultants to write articles to trivialize it. There was meetings that was had that we were kind of put down. You know, there was not just myself. There's a few others from almost all over the world. Alistair Goss from Australia and several of my colleagues. But yeah, it was basically told that we were either making it up or we were exaggerating it, things like that.
But you were seeing this as an oral maxillofacial surgeon, you were seeing this over and over and over again. And you're like, hey, what's going on? Right. It's like you just wanted to ask the good question because of your observations.
Oh, yes. I mean, I showed them the first 36 cases. And now between 2003 until now, we've had over 500 cases of this, plus my other faculty, another couple hundred. So it's thought to be uncommon, but it's not that uncommon.
So do you think that this is sort of an example of that whole profit before people, that greed, where it's like people just are missing the mark when it comes to just having integrity?
Yeah, the drug companies, I was disappointed in and showed really a little bit of callousness toward the outcomes and patients. A little bit of it exposed the flaws within the system, and that is the FDA is somewhat hamstrung by the fact that when a drug company brings forth a medication for approval, they bring forth the drug company's data, which is often heavily massaged and heavily skewed for a positive result. The side effects are not looked at. The side effects are not reported. And particularly with the Merck case of Fosamax, the side effect was not only not even looked at, but it was not reported at all or not even intended to be looked at. And so the FDA goes approve these drugs without the proper complete research.
And then you have the direct-to-consumer television commercials that have that lovely butterfly flying by and the music that's playing in the background while they're telling you about some of the potential side effects, which I think those drug company commercials are, they're in a category of their own for sure. So now the Merck company, so not only produced Fosamax, which you fought to expose, but they also produce Vioxx. I have a personal story about Vioxx, but this was a pain medication which caused an estimated 139,000 heart attacks in the United States. They also produce and marketed Gardasil, which, according to recent statements by Dr. Diane Harper, its key developer, is both ineffective and dangerous. How do you explain Merck's continuing history that goes on and on and on of deceptive marketing and of distribution of dangerous drugs in the marketplace? Why does this continue to happen?
Well, like yourself, I'm not too sure I have an explanation, but I'd like them to try to explain it. You're right, the Vioxx scandal was just horrible, and now the Gardasil makes us all a little bit concerned about the safety of the drugs that we've very much taken and rely upon. I think it's just fundamentally running through research without the proper controls. I think it is ignoring side effects, and then I think it's just fundamentally greed and avarice. So I'd like to have a mindset. I actually wrote a letter to Charles Grassley, the senator from Iowa, to investigate this type of a practice in big pharma. Now, as you know, he's involved with some of the Supreme Court selections and nominees, so he may be too busy to answer me, but so far he hasn't.
Right. Okay. Well, I really appreciate the work that you're doing, because it feels like to me, I mean, this is so commonplace that it has just been accepted sort of silently and maybe unconsciously by the public. And it's almost as if there's just nothing that we can do about it. Because
Dr. Lucille, you hit it right on the head. It's not only accepted by the public, but it's accepted by many of the doctors. Oh, well, side effects do happen. Yes, they do. But the warnings are not out there, in the proper time. One of the problems is that when data goes to the FDA, they only have 2 years of data, 2 years follow-up. And if you look at Vioxx and you look at Fenfen and all of these other things that are on Gardasil, the problems come out in the general public more than 2 years later. So there's no re-review by the FDA 5 years later. And if they did, there would be several drugs that would be discontinued from the marketplace.
Yes. But it's almost like they launch them and leave them. Then they take the millions and billions of dollars that they make from them. And the carnage is the trail of carnage. They just leave in their wake and go on and develop another drug.
Yeah, to be fair with them, most of these drugs have a therapeutic value. And the problem with Fosamax is that the dose is too high and the dose is too long. Now, their competitors, Boniva and Actonel and others like that, are half the dose. Why is theirs, with the same distribution, the same pharmacologic activity, why are theirs twice the dose? That was a question never got answered.
Right.
And it was to show a better DEXA scan. Your x-rays look better, even though they're not necessarily a stronger bone.
Right, because idea, as you said, bone physiology, you've got it's like a building and a destruction crew working side by side throughout your entire life. You've got osteoblasts that are building bone, and you've got osteoclasts that are remodeling and recycling old bone. If you kill off those osteoclasts, you've got basically a brittle bone. You're disrupting nature as far as physiology is concerned.
Yes, and the bisphosphonates in general have a greater effect on bone that is remodeling faster, turning over. And the number one in the adult skeleton is the jawbone because of our teeth and we bite things together. The second one that became evident in 2008 is the midshaft of your femur. Now, many women are developing spontaneous fractures mid-shaft of their femur, which for your listeners is the upper leg, and that is strictly due to people who've taken Fosamax and sometimes some of these other bisphosphonates for more than 6 years.
Yeah, wow.
So instead of making their bones stronger, they make them weaker through brittleness, just as you said.
Yeah, that's okay. Great. All right. So, without giving away too much, give me a short summary of Deadly Prescriptions plot. This
it's a murder mystery that starts out in an oral surgeon's office. So I knew about that. Then it twists through a lot of different medical diseases and how the protagonist finds out what caused the individuals to do the murder and why. There are several interesting suspects, from one justifiably jealous husband to a Russian hitman, two sleazy attorneys, and two CEOs of big pharma companies.
All right.
So it goes through some, hopefully for the reader, a review of the Black Plague of all things, rabies and mad cow disease, and how it was figured out what was causing the problem.
Wow. All right. And now, does the book contain any actual courtroom dialogue that went on between you and the drug company attorneys during the trial?
Well, it is a fictional novel, but yes, some of the courtroom dialogue is very similar, and some of it's actually identical, that went on the cat and mouse game between the different attorney groups and myself on the witness stand. Yes.
That's fascinating. Once again, folks, that book is Deadly Prescription. So here's a big question. First of all, where can people get the book?
Amazon.com is the best place.
Okay. Very familiar website.
Okay. And there's a website, deadlyprescription.com. So it makes it simple for people to look up. And it's in many of the bookstores, some of which are even in the airports.
Oh, excellent. So given Big Pharma, and you know, that's been a nickname they've had for a decade now, Big Pharma, because it's like, you know, Big Brother and Big Pharma. Given their unethical marketing practices that you've identified, what is your recommendation for consumers regarding taking prescription medications? You know, before you answer that question, I often say it, you know, I'm a consultant in the natural product industry, and I've had, you know, a few people throughout the last 16, 17 years of my career say, well, those are not FDA approved. I'm like, well, it might be a good thing, because I think the fourth to fifth leading cause of death, and it has been for many, many years, is the, you know, appropriate use. So this isn't abuse, appropriate use of over-the-counter and FDA approved over-the-counter and prescription medications. That's the fourth to fifth leading cause of death. And it's been sort of at that level for a long, long time. How do we talk to people? How do we, in the spirit of mindful medicine, wake people's minds up? What can we tell them as far as how they can take better care of themselves when they're recommended a prescription medication?
Yeah, I think so. The first thing is to remind everyone that they are really in charge of their own health care. It's not the doctor, it's not the pharmacies. So when you're prescribed the medication for condition, have a sit-down talk with your doctor. Now, as you know, you're a physician yourself. Our times are limited today due to the electronic medical record and all the other distractions that are put upon us with bureaucracy. But spend some time with your doctor and discuss the side effects, not just the reasons for taking it. In the day and age of electronic media and such, Google literally the name of your medication and look at some of the reports that may have side effects. And then lastly, ask your physician or your pharmacist for the drug handout, the product handout, which you know is 16 pages of fine print, but go directly to the black box warning. It's the black box warning, which is the most common and the most serious side effect, to read that over. And I think you'll get an understanding. Do I want to take this medication and for how long?
I think you make so many great points there. I mean, first of all, that they people, you know, I've said when I've lectured throughout the United States, I was like, hey, how many people have a primary care provider? And it was sort of like a trick question, but, you know, hands would go up. And my my story and the point of the question is that I do believe that everybody should be primarily in charge of providing care for themselves, and that we, you know, our doctors work for us. But at the end of the day, And it's actually a video that I have on my website. The number one thing you can do, the best number one tip, health tip that I can get people to, and it's I statements. You know, I have so many people, Dr. Mark, saying, oh, well, they put me on this, right? Well, my doctor prescribed that. Your doctor has every right to prescribe and recommend, you know, that every right to do that. But when it comes to filling it and taking that, you know, top off that bottle and putting it in your body, you are the one that's responsible for what goes in your body. And I've said that over and over again. And I think there's just been this passive sort of hierarchy of care where we give away our power over our body and our health to our said doctors.
Oh, I totally agree with you. That is one of the problems. And it's happened slowly over the years. We rely on other people to make those critical decisions for us and such. So, yeah, that is a major problem. And I think on a more political basis, I think we need to look and talk to our own, you know, politicians, congressmen and the like, to look into the drug industry. You know, nobody likes regulations, but I would recommend that the FDA be increased in their staffing, the FDA increase in their authority, and a review process goes on 5 years after a drug is out in the market. Because when you do one of these studies, and I think you know this too, they have exclusion criteria. So they exclude all the people who would have a bad reaction to their drug. So their data is very, very skewed toward a positive result. But when it gets out in the marketplace, after 5 years, you kind of know when it's in the real world where the problems are. And so an FDA review after 5 years, I think, would tend to put more cautions on some of the medications that we do take.
No, I think that's great recommendations. I mean, and literally it's for the quality of life and safety of the consumer. I think that we're doing everything that we can from a regulation perspective, obviously. But once again, folks, power to the people, waking your mind up, thinking things through, not just putting something in your body because somebody else told you to do it. The research is piling up, piling up, piling up. And you've got the fourth to fifth leading cause of death being that of appropriate used prescription medications and over-the-counter medications. So buyer, 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 beware. So, all right, Dr. Robert Marks, the dentist, a esteemed surgeon, and getting into the fiction novel writing book because of your incredible observations and experience. Thank you so much for being here. And once again, everybody, you can find the book, which you got to read, on deadlyprescription.com and, of course, amazon.com. Dr. Marks, thanks again.
Thank you for having me. Hope this helped some of your listeners.
Yeah, me too. All right, folks, Mindful Medicine, we were just trying to wake you up and use your mind to make better healthcare decisions for you and your family. This is Dr. Holly Lucille. I'm going to see you next time.